You're listening to WBHM, and I'm Rachel Lindley. School testing results have been in the news across Alabama in the past couple days, often along with words like sobering and not on track. So what's going on? I'm here with our education reporter, Dan Carson, to try to answer some of these tricky questions. He just returned from a conference put on by NPR's Ed team, and it just so happens part of the conference dealt with testing. Hi, Dan. So good timing, huh?
Yeah, you could say it was a fluke in our favor.
So, Dan, I know your head is probably full of big picture testing issues. There are some bills in Congress to lower the number of standardized tests kids are taking.
Right.
But let's start first closer to home. What's going on in Alabama?
Well, a lot of test data from all different grade levels has been getting noticed a lot lately. But the most recent and probably the most talked about are the results of the new ACT Plan 10 10th grade math and science tests that were given in the fall. And basically, really, really boiled down, only about a fifth of Alabama's 10th graders met or exceeded standards in those subjects.
A fifth? That doesn't sound good for Alabama.
No, it doesn't. But with any standardized test scores, there are about 1,000 caveats. Overall, no, the results are not good, and they weren't good for the ACT Aspire test given to 3rd through 8th graders last spring either. At almost every grade level for those, fewer than half those students met standards in reading or math. But one thing to remember about all these new ACT tests, very few educators are surprised by these results. And that's because the new tests, compared to the previous homegrown state assessments, are far more challenging. It's really a higher bar, and people expected a drop-off, but they're also really hoping for a steep learning curve as students, teachers, and administrators get used to these new tests, these new higher expectations.
Sounds like a situation that could cause a lot of people to be upset, from students on up to teachers and administrators. But these tests don't measure everything, right? There are limits.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? Another set of numbers, though, that shows Alabama really may have been setting the bar too low. In 2013, a third of all students who went to state public colleges had to take remedial courses.
In that case, the new data seems to be in line with reality. So why are more and more people here and around the country against testing? We've been hearing a lot about that lately as well.
That's a really good and a very large question. So again, really, really boiling down, basing a school's reputation, let alone bonuses or pay raises and people's jobs, basing that on test scores incentivizes hard work to meet standards, but it also incentivizes everything from teaching to the test, which I saw myself when I was teaching in North Carolina in the late 90s, it incentivizes that, and it also incentivizes, like, you know, outright cheating, which I think is not just a few bad apples thing, but a systemic problem.
But to have accountability, we need to have some kind of data. And people like hard numbers, from school administrators who need to know where to improve, to reporters like you trying to get the facts out there. Numbers help. Everyone likes to know some kind of data to help make a judgment. And we need to know when schools are failing their students, right?
Right. And that's one reason with the debates over testing, over Common Core, even the upcoming debate over charter schools in Alabama, all of which are related, by the way, that's one reason there are so many interests and so many agendas, so many people with agendas trying to make their points, that it's really hard to find reliable numbers or make sense of what those numbers really mean.
I gather that's something you talked about at the NPR Education Summit.
Definitely. The NPR Ed Team's lead blogger actually just finished a book about high-stakes testing. And she led a couple of really lively sessions. Believe it or not, testing discussions can be lively. They covered the test regimes put in place under George W. Bush's No Child Left Behind Act, and still favored by Obama's Ed Department, by the way. Everything from that side of things to the opt-out movement, where parents are troubled by the sheer number of federal, state, and locally mandated tests and practice tests their kids are taking. So parents are pulling their kids out of these tests. But one thing I got out of the conference, there are some really interesting middle paths being discussed now, too.
Such as?
Well, instead of testing kids every year, for example, let alone 20 times a year, as some are now, you could test every couple of years. Grade span testing is what it's called. You could also do statistical sampling instead of testing every single kid. And a lot of the computer learning kids do today lends itself to testing that's ongoing, less disruptive, and gives the kind of results that are easier to record over long periods of time, say from kindergarten through grade 12 or even beyond. And all that would remove some of the pressure from a given standardized test. And finally, some people want to factor in totally different types of measures to help gauge school success. Social and emotional skills surveys, and even government inspections, believe it or not, sort of a government version of the good old-fashioned observation, which is actually what they do now in Scotland.
From Alabama to the UK, so a lot to think about.
Yeah, and we've just scratched the surface. Like, you know, with a lot of important subjects, and this is no different, the simple problems have already been solved. There will be plenty more to come.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Rachel.
That was WBHM's education reporter, Dan Carson, talking about standardized tests in Alabama and beyond. I'm Rachel Lindley.